On today's episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand, I got a chance to have Stephen Ricano from Geology on the podcast. Oh man, we talked about so many different things about the landscape of direct-to-consumer right now. We talked about their omni-channel approach. It's really, really interesting. We talked about TikTok Shop, some of the issues that are coming up for them and some potential solves, something that you guys are definitely going to want to know a little bit more about. Guys, this is an episode you are not going to want to miss. Guys, I've actually been using this app for years. Did you know that most e-commerce stores are leaving 10 to 15% of their total revenue on the table by not offering upsells with every purchase? Crazy, right? But you can actually put that money back into your wallet with the OneClick Upsell app. OneClick Upsell is the secret weapon that's already made $560 million in extra upsell revenue for merchants just like you. This simple app transforms any Shopify store by offering highly targeted pre-purchase and post-purchase upsells with every single order. We've seen OneClick Upsell double a merchant's total revenue and average order value practically overnight. In fact, the average Shopify merchant who installs OneClick Upsell on their store increases their total sales by 10 to 15% as soon as they set up the app. And it's ridiculously simple to set up. I can even set it up. Not saying I'm, bad at setting things up, but OneClick Upsell is the original upsell app for Shopify. Again, I've been using this one for years, and it's highly profitable upsell funnels have already made $500 million. Yes, I know we just said that before, but it's true. That's because OneClick Upsell actually has more features and more offer placements than any other upsell app on the market. You get state-of-the-art features like AI-powered upsells, which is massive, brand new product page widgets, and high-converting shopping cart pop-ups. Plus, the app has built-in split testing, which is, again, super simple to use. So it's a no-brainer to find the best performing offers for your particular store. That's why it's no surprise that OneClick Upsell has made merchants like you, again, an extra $500 million and continuing in additional revenue. So if you're looking for the fastest way to scale your Shopify store in 2024, head on over to oneclickupsell.com and claim your special 30-day free trial offer. It only takes a few clicks to install the app, launch your first upsell, and start generating 10 to 15% more revenue today, as in literally right now. And I hate that I said literally, but I did. Don't miss out on another dollar in free upsell. Go to oneclickupsell.com and start your free trial right now. And please tell them that Jordan sent you. Hey guys, Jordan West back with another episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand. I'm pumped for this conversation today. It's already been interesting pre-recording, and we're going to talk about all sorts of great stuff today. We're going to be getting into omni-channel. We're going to be getting into just everything for growth, what it looks like to get into massive retailers, what that process looks like. Really looking forward to diving in today. Stephen Ricano, I hope I said it right. I tried. I tried. And also, I'm going to say your brand name right too, from Geology.
I like that, Jordan.
Yeah, Stephen, for people who don't know anything about you or anything about Geology, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you guys do.
Sure. I'm Stephen Ricano, and I head growth at Geology. We're a five-year-old skin, hair, and body care company. And we're focused in on simple and effective solutions that are built to fit your life. So our core D2C business is really focused in on personalized skincare. You take our diagnostic and we give you a set of recommended skincare products that are meant for like daily use. But we launched a couple of years ago, a hair care and body care line. Our hair care line is also a customized line in terms of the products in it. And we have just some of the best deodorants and body washes that you will find on the market.
Wow, that's great. And I'd love to actually get into this a little bit here. We've talked, if you guys have been listening to this podcast recently, which I know a lot of you, thousands of you have. Thank you. Really appreciate that. We've been talking a lot about TikTok shops. It's been a huge source of fodder for the podcast. Today, I really want to get into what this looks like, though, having an omni-channel strategy. Because a lot of us, especially like growth marketers, and I would say even in the brands that I own, that is the seat that I love. I actually recently, Stephen, I took over media buying back in one of the brands that we own because I was like, there has to be a better way than what we're doing at our agency. Like there has to be a better version of this. And I have been obsessively media buying recently, which has been so fun. I haven't done it in years, but I've spent like over my time, I'm sure I spent tens of millions of dollars media buying. And I feel like I'm a noob all over again. It's so fun. And yet I love talking about how all of these things kind of work together. So first of all, what's an omni-channel strategy? And what exactly is working for you in that?
Sure. So first of all, the industry has changed so much since COVID and coming into 2023 and 2024, right? Before you could even look at where to go in 2024, think a lot of growth marketers and marketers need to look back at where and what was successful in 2021, 2022, and really just rethink a lot of what was successful then, which is probably not successful now, right? I mean, we're seeing this like across the board and not just at Geology. For us, Omnichannel, we just launched in Target on February 26th with Geology Clear System. It's our new acne treatment line, and it's a better way to beat acne without benzoyl peroxide. So you probably saw in the news this week, but there's been some really big news around benzoyl peroxide. And
I did not see that.
To benzene, and we are a no benzoyl peroxide solution, but we launched on February 26th in about half of Target's. So when we think about the industry, how it shifted from COVID times, I'll call them, we were primarily a D2C company with an Amazon marketplace, and D2C was booming. CAC was low, lifetime value was high, everybody was at home. I think as a lot of marketers, particularly in a lot of areas of subscription services, we loved it.
Made us look awesome, right? On the marketing side, it was like, wow, this is really easy right now. And we could have like any, I'm thinking on the meta side, it's like, oh, any campaign structure, whatever you want. It just all worked, you know?
Exactly.
It was great.
Exactly. And you know what? What we saw during that time, and the reason I think it's important to contextualize this, is we saw a shift away from brand marketing. We saw a shift into pricing and discounting strategies that were unheard of in the space. Like, there were CPG brands running free trials all over the place. The food delivery service marketplace was a free meal chase. Yeah. And at Geology, we were on that bandwagon. I mean, at the end of the day, we were able to acquire customers that were in market, and bringing them on at super low cost and not focusing in on brand strategy just wasn't a necessity. And when I think about Omnichannel today and really scaling brand growth, I think you need to rethink about that from not just what are your marketplaces, what are your sales tactics, what are your contribution margins across your different product lines, but like, how does that affect your brand message, your upper funnel, your pricing and discount strategy, right? It's not just media buying. At the end of the day, it's basically everything that's going to impact that bottom line. And our D2C subscription model is so different from retail media and is so different from in-store. And the data we get is different. The way we can react is different. The media we can put out there is different. And I think when we think about Omnichannel, it's how do we take this bigger picture brand of Geology, which is like the best, greatest skincare, body care, and hair care brand out on the market, and make sure that it's the right fit for D2C. It's the right fit for online shopping. It's the right fit for Amazon, right? And which products are going to be heroes in each of those places? What does the business model look like across those different areas? And then that framework allows you to scale.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Really interesting when you talk about brand marketing. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine who owns a great shoe brand, and he's also doing some website development these days. He just wanted to just start. He's like, you know, I want to kind of help brands with that. And what he realized was like, website development is really funny and website design is really funny, especially like with the CRO gurus. It's like, so you really think by changing up these few things on a page, that's going to actually affect your customers at the end of the day? No, it's your brand. It's the feeling around your brand. It's what people know you for. You cannot trick people into buying things, right? That's not how this works. We're not trying to trick a robot into pressing a button. That's not how this works. And yet we basically across the board discount brand. How often do you hear people on LinkedIn or Twitter talking about brand? Never.
You know, I think more often now than you heard 3 years ago, right?
Totally, totally. Yes, yes. And I still think it's hardly ever.
Yeah. But I totally agree. And I come from a very performance analytics background. Like, I did go to school for advertising. I have foundations in brand, even though like my technical savvy and analytics side of things definitely usually shines through. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. And like, you know, when you're optimizing to lowering your CAC, when you're optimizing to conversion rate, when you're not optimizing brand level metrics, lifetime value to CAC ratios, lifetime value in general, right? Like these are signs that you're actually optimizing a lot of times to the least qualified audience for your brand. Unless you sell cheap widgets, right? And that's your goal.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong. There's tons of brands out there that sell cheap widgets. And what?
Yeah. And that's
some of them are great. Some are great cheap widgets. But Geology is definitely not a cheap widget. I mean, we definitely fall middle of the pack. We have a great value for the product we provide, but it's a high quality product. So it's not about necessarily always optimizing down, right? Brand is all about optimizing up.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to bring up an interesting story because this, yeah, what you're saying hits here. So I was testing out something with one of the clothing companies that we own. It's a baby clothing brand. And we're in that sort of middle to upper echelon for clothing. It's a little bit more expensive. And it's a brand that my wife runs. And we decided to test, and I just wanted to test it because I hadn't seen it deployed in ages, but we tested a free plus shipping offer on our leggings. It's our hero product. And I thought, let's just see. Let's see where customer lifetime value starts to come in. Let's see what 30, 60 customer lifetime value starts to look like. And it's interesting because it was up about $3 over the shipping charge within 30 to 60 days. And you think about it from a brand perspective and it's like, well, of course it was. Like our normal customer lifetime value is around $500. Do the people that spend $500 on baby clothes care about getting a free pair first? No. Am I glad that I tested it? Absolutely. I think it was an awesome test. And I'm actually using an iteration of it right now with an affiliate play that's already proving out to be way better and something interesting, but it's much more on brand. And I just wanted to bring this up for everyone to give an off example. And guys, anytime you need bad examples, I test so many things, just come to me and I'll tell you all the things that I've done wrong when it comes to this. So
that's the best way to learn, right? I mean, if you focus on what's not working, a lot of times you find out what's really working. And I think your example is perfect. And when I think about the way we think about brand and optimizing towards quality, right? It's how do we reward our customers? And how do we reward them from an omnichannel standpoint? Like rewarding customers on Amazon is much more difficult than rewarding a D2C customer. Rewarding a D2C customer could be free shipping, right? If you're a subscriber, you can get all types of subscriber benefits. We have probably one of the best loyalty programs you will see in the entire industry. How do you reward a Target shopper? Like, that becomes more difficult. How do we activate that community? And these are some of the new challenges as an omnichannel brand and trying to focus on brand growth we're kind of facing. So a lot of that does become making sure that the upper funnel message is flowing down in all channels to the lower funnel. And one of my favorite things, and if you look at a lot of your own brands, I'm sure, one of my favorite things to do is read customer reviews, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's because we get way more positive reviews than negative, so it makes me happy. It puts me in a happy place, and skincare in general, especially our acne treatment, tends to be life-changing for a lot of our customers, and that's rewarding in itself. Like maybe that can be the reward. And I think for other people watching this, they need to think about what is the reward of their product? How do you bring that out in your pricing and discounting strategies? How do you bring that out in your marketing? Because what makes me maybe slightly happier as a marketer, maybe not as a person. As a person, I love reading, this was life-changing. It cured my acne. I am so much more confident. But as a marketer, what I like hearing is, this was a simple and effective skincare solution that I can stick to every day. It uses better ingredients and better science. And seeing my marketing messages come through lower funnel in the reviews, right? Because you know what that means? It means one, our product is standing up in the marketplace to its value, but that's building brand. Like that customer who believes in the marketing message you're putting out there and is restating it back to you is probably the number one thing if you're working on brand strategy you should be looking for. If there's a disconnect between your reviews and your mission statement, then maybe you need to rethink the brand strategy you're focused on.
This great quote from a musician that I used to just absolutely love. And he's a folk musician. And he talked about songwriting. And he was like, I don't really write songs. He's like, I just kind of keep myself open and stuff's out there. And I just kind of grab it. And I'm like, that song's always been there. Now I'm just going to kind of like play it through me. Think about that with brand a lot of times, right? We get so precious about our version of brand. Really what brand is the mirror. Your customers are the mirror of your brand. You're not trying to shape them. They're actually telling you, this is what I want. So if you have 1,000 reviews all saying that, and then you decide to have a different message, you're actually not being true to the brand. You're only like, nobody owns a brand, right? You're merely just the steward of that brand in that time. And your customers will tell you what it is, especially when you're a beloved brand. And so I think that there's something there, right? Like making sure that you have that mirror. And I mean, reviews, it's just such low hanging fruit. Like again, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, who talks about looking at the reviews, right? Yeah. Nobody.
I mean, you want our secret? This is probably a lot of people's secret at this stage, but AI and ChatGPT and Bard are so good at taking 10,000 reviews and asking the right questions of that data to provide insights back in terms of what people are saying and how to do it. So I think I mentioned, but like we started as a men's skincare brand. We made a major pivot to unisex. And one of the reasons, there's two reasons that we really made this decision. One, we had product lines that were coming out that were in hair and body, vitamin C serums, and products that we felt were for a wider market that were just on par or better with basically anything else on the market in the beauty space, which was not a light decision. The beauty space is pretty saturated. But the other thing is when we started going through a lot of our reviews and we started thinking about unisex, a brand positioning, a lot of the things our customers were saying resonated not to everyone. We realized that we were a brand for everyone. And even though our founders created the brand because the beauty space was so overly complicated and they themselves couldn't find good skincare and personal care, we realized that that is not a gender-specific issue. And not only that, the new product lines we were launching fit right into that message, right? And that kind of led our overall brand strategy. And we really leveraged the reviews and then that growing sentiment over time to see, like, as those new product lines launched, as the new marketplaces launched, like, did that change? And a lot of the core values that we were founded on are still the existing core values. So we have wider product lines and more to manage with marketplaces and retail media and in-store presence. But at the end of the day, it's the same core brand principles.
I had Kelly Thornton from Tiege Hanley on the podcast a few weeks ago. And it's interesting because they stayed in the men's skincare space. And I really loved how they launched with having a YouTube influencer alongside of them in the cap table. And it's a really, really interesting way of doing things. But again, for them, it was a little bit different because they really did find that right there. And I think that might have been more influencer driven, right? Like, I think that people were seeing that kind of mirror in their main spokesperson as well. Anyway, it just was an interesting thought of how brands evolve, right? And it's just not always the same. There's some shorthand that I use when I'm thinking about business partners or probably higher level types of employees. And the shorthand is, how many different versions of yourself have there been, right? Yes. And you see a lot of people, you know, I'm always the person who plans our reunions. I've got my 20-year high school reunion. I'm really interested to see how many different versions there have been of certain people. And I'm still tight with some of them on Facebook and still friends with some of them. And I know that the majority of them actually have not changed, right? And there aren't new versions of them. And so I think about that with brand as well. And I think it's an interesting conversation. I just want to pivot for a second here. Are you guys doing anything over on TikTok Shop, or is that on your radar right now? One-click upsell increases your Shopify revenue 10 to 20% by offering your customers highly targeted upsells and cross-sells on every single purchase. In a few clicks, you can add state-of-the-art upsells to your product pages, cart pages, thank you pages, and even the shop app, so you can capture more money from every single customer practically overnight.
TikTok Shops is a kind of a pain point right now for us. And it's not because we don't want to be on TikTok Shops. It's because getting on to TikTok Shops and getting approved.
Yes.
So a little background about me, but my wife got an amazing job about 5 years ago and we moved to Italy. And when TikTok was like really starting to blow up, I was at Geology and we wanted to get our user ID and everything. And I signed up for a brand account and we got verified and we grew it, and nothing ever said that you were a global account. Nothing. And fast forward 5 years later, we applied for TikTok Shop probably 6 to 8 months ago, pretty long time ago, when it was released in the US. And well, that really came back to haunt us. Basically, like, the fact that our main accounts were global accounts behind the scenes, they're not even in the settings, caused a lot of our applications to get declined. And then once we got them approved after months of filing support tickets, we found out that you still can't tie your TikTok Shop to a global account. So I unfortunately am not going to be able to share any real expertise on TikTok Shops because we're just in this purgatory, I'll call it, of support tickets. And luckily, we were finally assigned somebody that, fingers crossed, is going to get this over the goal line for us.
Wonderful.
We have a ton of products that are perfect for TikTok Shops. So there are things that I could probably tell you in terms of strategy. here, but like the TikTok audience in general loves trends. They love virality. They love results. We've seen from a lot of UGC content. And I can tell you that our TikTok shop is certainly going to be, we're going to pick very specific hero SKUs and have a very specific strategy to be able to leverage our UGC content. The fact that a lot of our products drive life-changing results for customers. And particularly, I think we will take, I worked in the luxury fashion space for a long time. And I'll tell you what really worked is hero products on things like this. And they are t-shirts. You know, I worked, you know, for Marc Jacobs. I worked for Tiffany. And you know what item is always the hero product? Low cost item. And I think that's going to be probably one of our approaches is, you know, not focused on margin. This is where brand comes in. Don't focus on margin if it's a new customer acquisition strategy and you really understand what is the lifetime value of getting this hero SKU that is going to change this person's life in their hand on the brand. And then you upsell, you cross sell, you get the person into the brand, you make them understand the brand. And I think that's how we're going to approach TikTok shops when we get it live. So pay attention to the geology TikTok and hopefully make a purchase when it actually goes live.
That's great. We'll go offline after and I'll tell you a few tricks that I've learned because we have been in the process of working with a lot of massive brands on TikTok shop and a lot that have done what you have done. One recently came to us, huge brand that set their page up in Bali. And this very same idea, and they're Americans, and all of this has happened. So we've been through this a bunch. So I'll bring that offline afterwards. You know, guys, it's really, really cool to see. I mean, Steven, you get it. That is the point on TikTok shops. I was on a podcast yesterday talking about this, and one of the big questions that they had was like, well, is it actually right for every brand? Like, obviously, it's just for like these low ticket sort of brands. I'm like, no, it's right for every single brand because of all of the things that you were saying, right? If you don't think about it nearly as much of a sales exercise, it's great. Go ahead. You want it? Like I've got buddies that are making $400,000 or $500,000 a month on TikTok shop. Awesome. That is wonderful. That is not the point as far as I'm concerned. The point is number one, brand exposure. And number two, it is your testing ground that you're getting paid for. Yeah. You're getting paid to test content and then put it into a wonderful ad system and imagine what's going to happen. Like this is what it's all about, right? I think that a lot of people are very short-sighted when it comes to this stuff and think like, well, it's not my kind of platform. My people aren't there. I'm like, well, I'll bet you some of them are. And I'll bet you can get some incredible content, ad ID, emotional ID elements in there that are going to help your brand absolutely explode. So I think that it is for everyone, in my opinion. Like even we have some super high-end bag company that we're going to be working with. And for them, like, yeah, it's going to be pretty expensive sending these bags out. Is it going to be worth it? Oh, 100%. I am so excited about that. So, Steven, I'm going to ask you the question I ask everyone who comes on the podcast. What is your secret to scaling?
Ooh, that's a pretty loaded question. I would say the ability to pivot fast is our secret to scaling. I'll give you an example that happened just this week. We're focused in on all of these brand things, refreshing our category listing pages and our PDPs. And we just did a brand new product photo shoot. And on Wednesday of this week, this news hit that basically benzoyl peroxide is turning into benzene in a big majority of benzoyl peroxide acne solutions on the market. And we just launched a non-benzoyl peroxide acne treatment. And I mean, this is a perfect example of where like we had to have an internal meeting and prioritize and say, hey, this is huge trending news. This is obviously going to be also long-standing, right? This isn't going to be in today and out tomorrow, probably type of news. And we needed to reprioritize. And this isn't the first time that we've had to do that. But I think that like when you think about being able to pivot and move fast, I think you need to think about all of the cogs that are in the wheel. You have creative, you have agencies, you have internal resources, you have PR, right? You have product shifts. You know, pricing, like, and I think the ability to pivot fast is like a lot of times is a leadership down thing, but then it's also a cogs in the wheel back up. You need to be able to turn those cogs. If they're rusty, we've worked with partners and I won't name any in this case, but we've worked with good partners and we've worked with bad partners, right? And everyone who manages a brand knows that like certain partners are going to be very slow to react and certain partners are going to be able to beat you to the punch. And certain employees internally are going to do the same thing. They're going to react to leadership and certain employees are going to beat you to the punch. And I think the ability to scale at any level of company, whether that's going from 10 sales a day to 100 or 100 sales a day to 500 or 500 sales a day to 10,000, like the ability to pivot, work on trends, like this has helped us day in and day out as a company. Like in February of 2020, I don't know when it was, 2019, when COVID took over the world, I was lucky enough to be actually living in Italy and seeing it basically 2 weeks to 3 weeks in the future of the US.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, it was so apparent that the entire industry was going to change so rapidly at that stage in the game. And I think this is going to be the key. And I look forward to the next, hopefully it's the next big event that's an opportunity, because as a growth marketer, that's what you always want. But you know what? Like, sometimes the big event is not a growth opportunity and you need to be able to react fast to fix it, right? You know, we talked about this earlier in the episode, but I probably won't name any of the specific examples, but we've had our share of big events in the company where we're like, oh, this could be a problem. And you know what? It's those times that being able to react fast and put leadership and cogs in motion to fix the issue have allowed us to grow instead of continuing to slide out of control. So it really works in both ways.
Yeah.
It's both opportunity and just protection in a lot of ways.
Stephen, I got a new question. I was chatting with my brother-in-law last night about this question. He's the real creative kind of type. He worked at one of our companies for a while as head of marketing and was really methodical. It's funny, he actually worked right before AI. He left, like, I think in December of like when ChatGPT really came out and started to, maybe not, I wouldn't say take over, but a lot of the research tasks and stuff that he was doing. He moved pretty slow throughout the day, but was just brilliant when it came to ideation and that sort of thing. And so we had this question, and I think it's going to be a question I'm going to start to ask. So you're choosing a potential partner, let's call it an agency, and you can pick two of the three things, right? Speed, price, and quality. Which two do you pick?
Ooh, I think that speed and quality are the two priorities there. You know, price, a lot of times when you have the right talent, the right agency, the right level of qualities and speed, the returns are there. Now, I'm not saying don't do a cost-benefit analysis to make sure that the numbers line up, but in terms of qualifications, we certainly would look at quality as number one and speed as number two, because quality is trust in the relationship. It doesn't matter how fast you react to a situation. If it's inconsistent, if it's wrong, you're going to do more damage than good, right? Which is why quality is the number one thing. And then speed is, as I mentioned, is very important, especially in an ever-changing omni-channel. Like, it's insane how fast. I don't know if you experience this at your brands, but like, if you're a quickly growing brand, things happen at lightning speed. That's just the way it happens. And if things feel slow, chances are it's because growth is slowing, right? So it's very rare, I think, to be working. I've worked on the agency side as well for almost 15 years. And it's very rare to be working on a brand that is accelerating without the pace of the agencies and the people accelerating with it, right?
Totally.
And that's why I would say speed would be next.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a huge problem in the agency space is the lack of speed. And so my answer, I'm just going to go ahead. You know, I'm hosting this thing. My answer is speed is first because quality is a given, right? And then I think that price actually just kind of wraps up.
You're lucky then, Jordan.
Well, I mean, I think I also have incredibly high standards. And it's funny, I put a post out last night because I was just so ridiculously frustrated with a lot of different situations. And just about as I get older, my tolerance for incompetence just keeps going down and down and down. And so for me, quality is just an absolute given. But speed is one of those things that I find within agencies that isn't there. It's like brand owners want everything done right away, and that's okay. Like, that's actually okay. Like, that's actually how we work. The reason why, it's my last soliloquy here, everyone, but, or monologue, or whatever you want to call it. My last thing here is Sendlane. They're brilliant. And guys, this is not a pitch for Sendlane. I'm not trying to sell anything here. The reason why I love Sendlane so much is not because they have a better product than Klaviyo. They don't. Klaviyo is a better product. Absolutely. For now, they're really iterating on a lot of things. Sendlane's so much better because they have a mandate, and it's not public, but I'm good buddies with all the C-suite there. They have a mandate that is a 30-second response rate to anything that goes on. And Jimmy walked me through how the different levels go there in their customer service. That is why they are winning. That is why they are taking so much business. And I would much rather have a product that I'm maybe a little bit less in control comparatively to Klaviyo and have that kind of customer support, then I would have a better product. And so to me, I guess speed really does. It actually, at the end of the day, I think that actually does show that that's what I care about.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's so important. I mean, like if my creative team hands me an ad and I can get it live myself with my busy schedule faster than my agency or partner can, right? Like, why am I paying you?
It's just absolutely,
like,
Steven.
But, you know, I think quality is contextual in a lot of cases. Like, there's best practices level of quality, which I do think for the most part, most agencies I've ever worked with have a standard set of best practices. But, you know, we work in a subscription D2C brand. It is very different. And I think sometimes quality comes in terms of different thinking and the ability to really think outside of best practices. And that I wouldn't say is in every agency that I've evaluated, that's for sure. I would say more agencies tend to be on the, we're not going to take the road less traveled. We're going to go down and sit in the middle lane of the highway. And if you have a brand that's accelerating, we're going to do things to best practices. And in the middle lane, if the rest of the traffic's going fast, we're going to go fast with it, you know, kind of approach.
Yeah.
And when I think of quality, like, I just hold a very high standard.
Let's leave it there. Steven, where can people connect with you, find out a little bit more about you, and then also find out more about Geology?
Sure. So in terms of Geology, we're available at geology.com. It's geology.com. So that's where you can check out our skincare, hair care, body care lines and get started with a personalized trial for yourself. Also, we're available on Amazon Marketplace and now available in 861 Target locations. Oh. So definitely go check it out there. In terms of myself, the best place to probably connect with me from like a partner level would be on LinkedIn. And that's, I do get a lot of messages, so don't be shocked if it takes me a week or two to reply. But LinkedIn, but if you want to just see all my adventures in travel and eating, I did live in Italy and I live in New York City. So I'm an avid reviewer, wine connoisseur, been all over the world. And you can check out my personal Instagram at sricano or my Google reviews as well.
Wow.
If you're looking for some good restaurant or vineyard recommendations.
I have never had somebody say, go check out my Google reviews. So I am definitely going to do that. And guys, remember, everything that Steven and I talked about today will be down in the show notes. That is our commitment to you guys. So please go ahead and connect with Steven, find out more about Geology. Steven, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jordan, for having me.
Hey, guys, just wanted to say thanks again so much for listening to the podcast. If I could ask one favor of you, it would be to share this with your other e-commerce store owner friends. We want everyone in the e-com space to be listening to this podcast, and lots of you guys already are, and we really, really appreciate that. One last thing before you go as well is we are offering to our podcast listeners a free e-commerce growth plan where we go from strategy to sale with your brand in this e-commerce growth plan. So feel free to go to www.upgrowthcommerce.com/grow and apply for a free growth plan today. Thank you all again so much for listening.